You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today we have another breaking news story. It broke Monday, and it concerns a Defense Intelligence Agency, sometimes referred to as the DIA. And for those that are unfamiliar with it, each military service has its own intelligence group, and overall they have what they call the Defense Intelligence Agency that coordinates intelligence amongst the services, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, and the Air Force. And their focus, though, is primarily on tactical and, to a limited extent, strategic intelligence, because they need to give their various, whether it's a Navy ship or a wing or a squadron of aircraft, intelligence should they be sent on a mission. So the focus is a little bit more narrower than the Central Intelligence Agency or, for that matter, the National Security Agency. That doesn't mean it's bad intelligence. It just means they have a somewhat different focus, and all the intelligence is shared, or at least should be shared. Now, a lot of it is compartmentalized and closely held. Now, what am I leading up to? And I've done several shows on this, but there's something very unique about this, because Judicial Watch, under the Freedom of Information Act, had to sue the federal government, the Department of Defense, as well as the State Department, for certain documents relating to Benghazi and what correspondence, emails, reports were exchanged between the various departments as a result of the attack on the diplomatic facility in Benghazi, where the United States ambassador was killed, Chris Stevens, as well as three other Americans, one being information manager for the State Department, and the two others were contract employees of the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of background information for those that are unfamiliar with it. I'm very familiar with this entire episode, and I've been saying, and based on press reports, that what the United States was doing in Benghazi was a covert operation by the Central Intelligence Agency. And what that means is, if this was a legal covert operation, which I sort of think it was, the President of the United States has to authorize it. It's done upon the direct orders of the President. It's very much tasked, in this sense, tasking the Central Intelligence Agency, or the CIA, to engage in certain activities that are generally spelled out in the finding. And that's the authority for the CIA to take action. Now, when this happens, and this is very, very important, 8 people in Congress have to be notified, 4 Republicans and 4 Democrats. Who are those people? It is a Senate Majority Leader as well as the Senate Minority Leader. And in the Senate, the chairman of the Intelligence Committee as well as the ranking minority member of the Intelligence Committee. So there are 4 senators, 2 Republican, 2 Democrats. They're in the leadership of both the Senate and the relevant committee, in this case the Intelligence Committee, and also 4 people in the House of Representatives, including the Speaker of the House, in this case John Boehner, the ranking minority member Nancy Pelosi, as well as the chairman of the Intelligence Committee and the ranking minority member of the Intelligence Committee. And it's important to understand this. Congress, to a limited extent, is informed about covert operations. They're obviously highly classified, top secret or above, and it's closely held, and only people that really have a need to know. But what's important is this makes it official, and it gives the green light for the Central Intelligence Agency to go into Libya. We're talking about a Libya here, at least initially. Now, a little background. Why do we go into Libya? And that's a good question. And that's a question that, frankly, has not been answered. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of suspicion. And Gaddafi was not a good guy, but he had been in power for 40 years. And over those 40 years, he accumulated a lot of weapons, mainly from as a result of the revenue that him and his family got selling Libyan oil. Now, most of those weapons were Russian weapons. Now, he bought them from many countries, but the majority of were Soviet weapons. He was no friend to the United States. Ronald Reagan tried to kill him. But why do we go after Gaddafi after all these years? Especially since he was concerned after the United States went after Saddam Hussein and brought his regime down, he thought it was going to be next. Now why? Because over the years, he was getting all types of weapons, including nuclear weapons. And he had bought the plans and some of the centrifuges that you need to refine the ore so you could ultimately have a nuclear weapon. Now, it didn't get very far. As a matter of fact, after Gaddafi was killed and the regime fell, they actually found the plans and some of the equipment in a warehouse. They were just sitting there. And the problem is you need people that know how to make a nuclear bomb as well as get the fuel that you need for the nuclear bomb. It's not easy to do. And only if you're a really large company, a large country with a lot of expertise, mainly in physics, but also engineering and other disciplines, can you really pursue it. Now, India and Pakistan, as well as China, all have nuclear weapons, and Iran is trying to get one. I frankly think it already has one or more, but that's a topic for another show. So we knew that Gaddafi had some so-called weapons of mass destruction, both nuclear, chemical, and biological, mainly that he bought on the market for these types of goods, but most of them were conventional type weapons, including surface-to-air missiles that can bring down airliners as well as military aircraft. So the question is, why did we take him out given the fact that he offered and gave to the United States access to his nuclear program? He did it for a very selfish reason. He didn't want to be next. So even though we've had ups and downs in the relationship between the United States and Libya, he was being, relatively speaking, a good boy by cooperating to a certain extent with the United States. So it surprised some people that the United States decided to bring down that regime. Now, instrumental in doing that is the current candidate for President of the United States for the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton. She, along with other people in the administration, were trying to argue that Gaddafi was about to engage in genocide and kill tens of thousands of his people. There's only one problem with that. There was no intelligence supporting that conclusion. However, we had people in the State Department, as well as the White House, that were pushing for the United States to intervene in Libya. And we did. Now, President Obama stipulated he wanted no U.S. troops on the ground. That doesn't mean the CIA was not sent into Libya. They were. They were providing intelligence, training, weapons to the various rebel groups in Libya. So the U.S. was on the ground. It wasn't army troops, or at least it wasn't told to the American people that we actually had Americans in Libya. We certainly did have Americans in Libya. And we did provide air support that took out Muammar Gaddafi, Colonel Gaddafi's air capability, and ultimately brought down the regime. The Europeans supplied troops, intelligence, as well as additional air support. It was very much a NATO exercise led by the United States with the objective of regime change. In other words, replacing Gaddafi, and he was found and killed by rebels. Now, what's the problem with that? Where is Libya today? Let me jump forward a little bit. It's really a hotbed of Islamic jihadists that are fighting each other. In other words, we went from an obviously bad dude or bad guy to something actually worse. We have Al-Qaeda in Libya, we have the Islamic State in Libya, and we have other groups fighting each other in Libya, including the Muslim Brotherhood. So you have battling militias trying to keep certain territory. Yesterday, I did a story on both gangs in Texas and Waco, as well as militias or gangs in Iraq. Well, we have the same problem and still have an actually worse problem in Libya today. And it was not too long ago that the United States Embassy was closed in Tripoli and we fled. We turned tail and fled. We got out of Dodge. In this case, it wasn't Dodge, it was Tripoli. Because why? You had rival militias killing each other. A few were friendly to the United States, but many, many were not. And the fear was they were going to attack the U.S. Embassy in Tripoli and kill our staff there. So the order was given to pull out, and we did. It wasn't by helicopter, because remember, there are a lot of surface-to-air missiles that these militias groups got a hold of. So it was an overland exit, if you will, and it was successful. Nobody got injured, but for a while, it was somewhat touch and go. We fled west, but that's not the topic of this show. I want to give you a little context. Why did we take out Gaddafi? Well, it gets back to the weapons and, to another extent, the oil. Now, what you need to understand, Gaddafi had been negotiating agreements between Libya and various European countries, because that's where primarily the oil goes. He has about a little under 2% of the world's reserves. But given the fact that Libya is not far, for example, from Italy and France, that oil can be refined in Europe, and Europe needs oil. And he was on fairly good terms. So we get back, if it wasn't oil, because that is the national interest, Libya is primarily desert. Yes, it borders the Mediterranean, and it's rather scenic, but if it wasn't for oil, frankly, no one would care that much about Libya. Now, it does have some ancient ruins that archaeologists occasionally go to. I wouldn't go there now, because what we have is very much it's devolved into tribal warfare and militia warfare, and there's hatred among the various groups. Some of these groups had supported Gaddafi over the years, but many of them, especially those around Benghazi, which is in eastern Libya, did not. So why were we in Libya? If it weren't for oil, why were we there? He was cooperating, to the extent you can have any cooperation with Gaddafi. To use a phrase, he was being a good boy for a change, because he was legitimately fearing for his life, and I think it was a legitimate fear. The answer is the arms. Because over 40 years, what Gaddafi did across the country at military bases, army bases, air force bases, navy bases, he stored up a lot of weapons in warehouses, in depots, in vaults. Many were out in the open, but many were hidden. Now, why did he buy all these weapons? He was afraid of his own people. And he was really afraid of the Islamic jihadists that were trying to overthrow them. Remember, Muammar Gaddafi really, to a certain extent, modeled himself. And remember, he was in power for 40 years. I think the only world leader that's been in power longer is Fidel Castro. He modeled himself against Nasser, who was aligned for a time with the Soviet Union. And he did take power in a military coup, and ultimately he prevailed. And it's usually not a one-man operation. There's usually an oligarchy. There's a group of people, in this case in the army, as well as his family, that benefited from this. Corruption is rampant. I mean, that's one of the common denominators, where you have big money, in this case oil money. He was in a position to loan people or give people millions of dollars. In other words, pay them off. And he did, in the United States as well as to other people. He was very much a thorn in the side of the United States. That's why Reagan tried to kill him using Navy aircraft. We came close, but close doesn't cut it. We killed one of his adopted kids. And then he started to behave. And the reason we did this, he was putting out hits on the United States military servicemen when they were off duty. It also was strongly suspected that there was a Pan American flight that was exploded over England. It killed a lot of Americans. Everybody on it died, as well as people on the ground. And there was a strong suspicion that he was behind it. Now, there are counter arguments. I don't want to get into that. But what I'm trying to say is the United States was not his buddy. We were his enemy, and it was mutual. No one was crying very much when they put a bullet in his head. But we could have done that any time over that 40-year period. Why suddenly did we focus in on overthrowing the regime? It's simply the weapons. That's the conclusion I and many others have reached. We had a ready supply of weapons, largely Soviet weapons, Russian weapons. Yes, some of them were dated, but he had vast stores of ammunition, rifles, pistols, RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades, as well as surface-to-air missiles that can take out helicopters, jets, jet fighters, bombers, as well as airliners. But he had a lot of equipment, vehicles, aircraft, tanks. He was a very much a military force, and every military force has to be supported by logistics and has to have on store a large supply of weapons and other things that you need to support an army, including food, water, vehicles, gasoline. So he was a ripe target in the sense that if someone wanted to and had the capability of overthrowing his regime, those weapons could be used elsewhere. Now, where would we want to use those weapons? Syria. Barack Obama wanted to overthrow the Assad regime in Syria. And this was a twofer. First, we kill Gaddafi, overthrow his regime by supporting the various militia groups that were against Gaddafi in Libya, and put out the very false narrative, which Hillary Clinton did, as well as other members of the administration, that he was about to engage in genocide, when the intelligence community could not verify that, could not confirm that at all. In other words, it's just another one of many of lies of Hillary Clinton. She's not a very good liar, but she does lie a lot, I must say. I think the only one that lies more is Barack Obama. He more or less is the gold standard of lying. And I'll get to that in a minute. Initially, the Central Intelligence Agency was tasked with supporting the Libyan rebels, and that meant providing them intelligence, maps, training, weapons, as well as intelligence where Gaddafi had some of these weapons stored, and why it was touch and go for a while when you combine that with the air support that NATO and the United States was providing the rebel forces, it's not surprising that Gaddafi lost. I think it would be very difficult for him to win once the United States makes a determination, which the President of the United States did, that he wanted to bring Gaddafi down. And ultimately, he was captured by one of these militia groups, hiding in a drainage ditch, and someone shot him in the head. And he's dead. And his regime, his history, his family fled. And there was a bloodbath. That's the irony, because Gaddafi hired troops, primarily African troops, you can call them mercenaries, whatever you want to call them, that supported him. So when the regime fell, these militias groups went after the Africans. If you were black in Libya and you were from Africa, your life expectancy was rather short. That hasn't really been reported much in the press. So in a way, in an ironic way, Hillary Clinton was right. There was a genocide, but it wasn't Gaddafi that was initiating it. It was these various militias that went after the allies, the supporters of Gaddafi. And he did have allies. They tend to be the tribes in the West, but he also brought a lot of troops, recruited them, paid them well, from Africa. And when the regime fell, as a result of continuing bombardment of his air forces, as well as artillery and tanks, the Africans fled. But some of them didn't run fast enough and were caught and killed. And there was a bloodbath, and there was violence, and there was revenge, because there was no love lost between those that supported the Gaddafi regime and those that opposed it. Nothing new here, except the United States and the President of the United States, as well as people in his administration, are directly responsible for his fall, as well as the unintended or intended consequences of what was supposed to happen afterwards. So initially, the covert operation or mission of the CIA was to support the various militia groups that were opposing Colonel Gaddafi, with the objective of first overthrowing his regime and then supplying weapons to the various militia groups. But there was another reason. And some might call it mission creep. But I think the real objective, the objective that many have pointed to, and until yesterday we really didn't have much documentation of what the CIA was up to, the real goal was to provide the various rebels, not in Libya, but in Syria, to overthrow the regime of the Assad family. And they're a brutal folks. It's a brutal regime. And I won't go in the history other than I'm not going to cry when he falls. And they're no friend to the United States, although there have been various diplomats, including John Kerry, as well as others, that have met and talked to him. And remember, he is the son of the dictator that was in power for many decades. But that family, they're Alawites, by the way, and that's important to understand. The attempt was made to try to persuade Assad and his family to flee Syria. So the goal was first to overthrow Gaddafi and then overthrow the Assad regime. That was the game plan. That was the game plan. And especially after Gaddafi was overthrown. And remember, we already had overthrown Saddam Hussein. They thought taking out the Assad regime would be easy. Well, that was a terrible miscalculation. You see, one of the problems that the United States has, especially our leaders, is they are not aware of the history, the culture, the religious conflicts of the nations that they're intervening. And we're seeing that today in Iraq, because Assad refused to leave. Why? He knew that he and his family could get out. And obviously they have a fortune in some bank, probably in Switzerland. So they could flee. But what would happen? His supporters, the Alawites, would be butchered. In other words, there would be a genocide, and the target would be the Alawites. So he refused to go. And you got to understand, he has a large army, a lot of tanks, air force. In terms of the Middle East, he's a formidable power. But he also has some allies. Who are those allies? The Chinese, the Russians, before that the Soviets, and also the Iranians, the Shia, because the Alawite sect is related to the Shia. So Iran was a big supporter of the Assad regime. They didn't want the Assad regime to fall. And they support and really control Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is fighting to keep Assad in power. And the Russians support him because not only does he buy weapons, he has leased them a port that they need for their fleet in the Mediterranean. I'm trying to give you the big picture here before I give you the specifics of what's new to the story, because I know many of you simply don't follow the news. So I want to give you context, I want to give you history, and in a minute I'll get to where we're at. So it was clear that Obama wanted the CIA, and ordered the CIA, to first go into Libya, support the rebels there, and after the Gaddafi was overthrown, gather up the weapons, especially the surface-to-air missiles, but also RPGs, various weapons that rebels in Syria that are primarily Sunni could use to overthrow the Assad regime. There's a number of problems. One of the biggest problems, and the Israelis took care of part of the problem, is that Syria over the years has built up a large stockpile of weapons of mass destruction, primarily chemical weapons. And a lot of the chemical weapons that in Iraq were transferred over to Syria. And there's something that, a little background. Both Syria and Iraq, when they were controlled by their dictators, were part of the group was the Ba'ath Party. It's a socialist party. It's a totalitarian regime in both cases. So what Hussein did was, before he went underground, he ultimately was captured and hung by the Shia. He sent a lot of the weapons that he had to Syria. And Syria already had a large stockpile, probably one of the largest in the world. Now, what's dangerous about this is this, why it's centrally controlled. You don't want these weapons in the hands of terrorists, in particular Hezbollah. So initially, Barack Obama was drawing red lines and then erasing them and pulling back. He was trying to talk or bluff Assad to leave, him and his family. Well, the best laid plans don't usually work out. And they didn't work out in this case because Assad was going to fight, not only for his family, his supporters, but also the group that he's most associated with, the Alawites. And he had his supporters, Russia, China, and Iran. And they're fairly close to him versus the United States. So the CIA was tasked to ship weapons through Turkey and ultimately into Syria and to distribute those weapons to the various rebel groups that were fighting against the Assad regime. Now, here's the problem. There are no real moderate Syrian rebels. Most of them, by far, are jihadists. They're Islamic jihadists. Many of them belong to Al-Qaeda, the Al-Nusra group, as well as what has been in the news lately. And they've had several names. They were Al-Qaeda in Iraq. They fled to Syria, and now they've changed their name to the Islamic State. And you have other groups, but they're all very extreme Islamic jihadist groups that want to overthrow the very much secular regime of Assad. They hate each other. And that's the point to understand. There's no love between the Shia and the Sunnis. And in this case, the Sunnis are Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State and other Sunni groups. There are no moderate Syrian groups at all. There are none. Eventually, Obama understood that. Thank God. There are still people in Congress pushing us to send arms to these Syrian rebels. You see, that's what I was alluding to. Most of the people, especially Americans, don't know the history, don't know the details, and by their intervention, cause a mess. Now, both in Libya and Syria. And what has happened in Syria? Literally hundreds of thousands have fled the country. Like Libya, it's a disaster. People flee the country when you have people roaming around trying to kill you, butcher you. It's very much another sectarian civil war. So the plans of the Obama administration, as well as the Secretary of State that's now running for president, failed. The strategy, the plans, the programs failed. But something happened on September 11th, 2012. What happened was four Americans died, including our ambassador, because the radical jihadists attacked our diplomatic facility there. Now, what was the problem? This was right after the Democratic Convention, where it was emphasized over and over again, I'm the president that took out bin Laden, and we have Al-Qaeda on the run. And we heard that every day of the convention. There's only one problem. Al-Qaeda wasn't on the run. They were regrouping in Syria, attacking the Syrian regime. Now they're attacking the Iraqi regime, which is Shia, in Iraq. And we initially were going to ship arms to them. Until a number of people in the Intelligence Committee made it very, very clear to the president, there are no good Syrian rebels, or there are just simply too few of them. See, there's no good side here, and that's the message that finally sunk in to this administration. We don't want to be on either side. We certainly don't want the United States to send troops or intervene. And frankly, we don't want to arm our enemies, Al-Qaeda. Because ultimately, that's where these weapons were going to go to. They were going to be distributed. And yeah, we could have provided a lot of weapons to a group, but if they can't keep them, in other words, if they're attacked and they lose, what happens? Those weapons go to Al-Qaeda, and then they also would have gone to the Islamic State. But all that covert, very secret, top secret covert operation was exposed when on September 11, and deliberately on September 11, another Islamic jihadist group attacked and killed four Americans and wounded several others. Remember, the Central Intelligence Agency had it what was called the CIA Annex. It was a compound of buildings storing a lot of the weapons that we accumulated that we were in turn going to ship to the Syrian rebels that we supported in Syria and ship those arms through Turkey. You see, Chris Stevens, the ambassador that was killed, he was heading up this mission. In other words, although he was a State Department ambassador, he was running the covert operations. The day he was killed, right before it, he was meeting with a Turkish diplomatic representative to make arrangements for the shipping of those arms through Turkey. Now, when the CIA does these operations, they don't want to have their fingerprints all over these arms shipments. So they usually pick one or more groups to be what is called a cutout. So if the mission goes wrong, we didn't do it. We weren't running arms. They were. We were supervising it. We were keeping in touch, seeing what was happening. Don't point the finger at us. And that's the line that the former CI director, Morrell, is peddling. There's one problem with that. There were 35 CIA or contract personnel in Benghazi, and they know exactly what was going on, especially the chief of station there and the people that were supervising this. There are a lot of people that know exactly what the United States was doing in Benghazi, and they all work for the CIA. A few in the State Department, but two of them got killed, including the ambassador. And what has happened since that date? First, all the people from Benghazi were given lie detector tests, and usually in the CIA, you might get one every 5 or 6 years. But this was more frequent than that, every several weeks or months. Why? They wanted to make sure that they did not talk to the oversight committee in Congress as well as the press. And they were being intimidated, threatened. If you talk, your career is over. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a massive cover-up of a covert operation that President Obama and his Secretary of State, as well as the CIA director then, and that was until he got fired or resigned, General Petraeus, it was a failure. Some would say they never should have done it. I'm one of those. It was very much a high risk and very dangerous operation. Why? And it's proven that it is. Why? Where did those weapons go to? Yeah, eventually they ended up, at least those that were shipped, and there were at least two shipments, they ultimately ended up in militia groups, Islamic groups, jihadist groups, that are no friends to the United States, including Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. That's what Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, the ambassador to the United Nations, as well as President Barack Obama, were trying to hide all of that from the American people because they were literally weeks away from the November election. So what they did is they lied to the American people, as well as the families of those that were killed in Benghazi and those that were wounded, and they peddled a very false narrative, a lie, that what happened in Benghazi was the result of a YouTube video that was rather offensive to Muslims that really nobody had heard of until this blew up. We have since learned that the State Department, the Department of Defense, the CIA, as well as the President, knew within hours that there was a well-planned and organized attack, and it was, and it almost killed a lot of people, a lot of Americans. And there was very little response from the Obama administration. And the CIA initially, through its CIA station chief, the people there that wanted to go and help the ambassador and the people at the diplomatic facility, for many, many minutes, were told to stand down. Now, what's new? I've got to the point where, what's new? Judicial Watch filed a lawsuit under the Freedom of Information Act that the press uses when they want information from the administration and they can't get it. They can sue. And after, I think it's about 2 years, they finally got some of the documents, again, heavily redacted, in other words, blacked out. But these were damning documents because these are official documents from the Defense Intelligence Agency. And I have some of the relevant quotes at the very top of my post, which you can view at prompops.wordpress.com. That's prompops.wordpress.com. Let me read a few of them. The first one is rather key. And this is our own Defense Intelligence Agency. The memo was dated September 12, 2012, a day after the attack, concerning the Benghazi attack. And they say the attack was planned 10 or more days prior, on approximately 1 September 2012. The intention was to attack the consulate and to kill as many Americans as possible to seek revenge for the U.S. killing, and I have trouble with Arab names, Alibi, you can read it, in Pakistan, and in memorial of the 11 September 2001 attacks on the World Trade Center. Ladies and gentlemen, this was one day, and this memo got wide distribution in the Department of Defense, the Central Intelligence Agency, the National Security Council in the White House, as well as the Secretary of State. Now, they actually knew this within hours of the attack. So the Obama administration, the Secretary of State, as well as Obama and his ambassador, were lying to the American people And what's even sad, they were lying to the families of those that were killed by saying it was as a result of a YouTube video that was offensive to the Islamic faith. When they knew within hours that this was a planned, organized attack, and it was. Because Fox News did a comprehensive interview with the people that were on the ground that eventually left. They were contract employees. And they said these were pros. This was not amateur hour. This was not a spontaneous demonstration or protest. In other words, the president, to cover up this and to get reelected, and the people in his administration lied to the families and the American people so the American people would vote for him. And they did, and they reelected him. You see, if this was exposed, I think it's a 50-50 proposition whether Barack Obama would have been reelected. The problem is Mitt Romney was not a very good candidate and would not go after him specifically on this. Because this is the, how should I say, if the lid was blown on this prior to the election, Barack Obama wouldn't be in the White House today. The American people would be very much upset. And what would they be upset about? Mr. President, you wanted to send surface-to-air missiles that can bring down jet aircraft, including airliners, to our sworn enemies in Syria, Al-Qaeda. Now the Islamic State, used to be named Al-Qaeda in Iraq, as well as other Islamic jihadists that want to kill Americans, you want to send them arms? Are you out of your mind? You see, what we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is a liar and incompetent, not only in U.S. domestic economic policy, but also foreign policy. He's not up to the job. He never has been. He's arrogant, and he thinks he knows best, but he's an incompetent fool, and he's getting Americans killed. And the only reason he's sitting in the White House today is lies, lies, and lies. And no one trusts him. Even the people in his own party don't trust him. And our allies and even our enemies don't trust him. And now we have Hillary Clinton, who was part of this grand cover-up of what the CIA was doing in Libya, sending arms to Syrian rebels that were not only the enemies of the Assad regime, but also enemies of the people and nation of the United States. And what's new is these are official government documents. That's what's new here. They can't deny it anymore. Let me just, I have to conclude my show in about 2 minutes, but I want to read one or two more quotes. Weapons from the former Libya military stockpiles were shipped from the port of Benghazi, Libya, to the port of Bananas, in the port of Borja Islam, Syria. The weapons shipped during late August 2012 were sniper rifles, RPGs, rocket propelled grenades, 125mm and 155mm Horatio missiles. Later on, it mentions the fact that we also ship surface-to-air missiles, SAMs, and it gives the Soviet designation of them. You see, if this was known, and known in a timely manner, I don't think he would have been reelected, although it is very much a 50-50 proposition. But he should be impeached. They have been delaying this. They've been stonewalling and delaying the document releases because they know they're guilty as hell. And once the American people become aware of it, they're going to call for his head as well as Hillary Clinton's. They were in on this cover-up. And it's a scandal, folks, a scandal. With that, I'll close my show with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.